My name is Sean Rybel, and I'm working with preliminary crop coefficients for Northeast Louisiana. I'm working with Dr. Clausen of the LSU Ag Center. I'm a graduate student, so. Just to begin, our purpose is to determine crop coefficients for cotton in Northeast Louisiana to improve irrigation scheduling. And briefly, have we seen, just looking at crop evapotranspiration over reference evapotranspiration. The crop ET we determine using Wang lysimeters. The reference ET we calculate using the standardized reference evapotranspiration equation, and we're doing this in daily time steps. Okay, about our field site, we have dimensions of 350 meters by 37.5 meters. It's turtleback to facilitate drainage. We have a rough northwest to southeast orientation, and so we'll refer to the lysimeters as being north and south. We're irrigating the site by a single span linear move system, and our lysimeters are roughly in the center of the field, about 0.8 meters apart in the same row. The variety of cotton we're using is Delta Pine 555. The seedlings aren't vigorous, but they are late maturing and very vigorous in the late season. We'll see some responses to that in the data. Our planting date for the lysimeter area was a week later than the surrounding field, as we had some problems with the initial planting around the lysimeters emerging. We reduced the plant height by the use of Pentia, and we kept the cotton in a non-water limiting condition by irrigating whenever there was a 5 centimeter deficit. Okay, some specifications briefly. We have paired lysimeters in St. Joseph, which is Northeast Louisiana again. The intertank dimensions is approximately 1 meter, or 40 inches to match the row spacing, and then 1.5 meters. And also the depth is 1.5 meters. The outer tank is dimensions matched so that it has a three quarters of an inch gap between the two tanks. And it was filled with reconstructed Sharkey clay soil. Okay, just a picture of right after planting, and we have the two lysimeters, and also the drain pipes for when we can pump out when we accumulate too much water, or try not to accumulate too much water. And so now the lysimeter data logger, full bridge wiring configuration, and going through all the specifications, we expect to have a 0.2 millimeter resolution. And our next step after the installation, which I wasn't there for, but I began with the calibration based on Howell et al. In 95. We covered initially the lysimeter surface to prevent evapotranspiration. We also constructed a plastic fence to minimize wind effects. And then we just placed standardized weights on the surface in different combinations. We would allow those weights to settle for 90 seconds. And then we would have an averaging period of 2 minutes after that, for which we would average. And our protocol here, we had 41 different combinations of weights. We had the 50-pound weights, and then we had smaller increments that we would add and remove. And this, when plotted, the load cell output, what the lysimeter recorded based on the actual mass of the weights, produced a pretty nice linear relationship with R squared of 0.9999, which we are happy with. And so, crop evapotranspiration, we are just converting millivolt per volt returns to kilograms, which can also be converted to millimeters of water per day. We scanned at 1 second intervals. We took 15 minute averages over the season. And to calculate the daily water use of the cotton crop, we just subtracted midnight to midnight. So for example, we took a nice set of lysimeter data here, and you can see the steepest decrease occurs during the day whenever we had conditions that were most favorable to ET. And the weather stations that we use, our primary station was LAIS station. This was approximately 1 kilometer away from our lysimeter site, and according to the standardized reference evapotranspiration equation, we need an anemometer, temperature relative humidity probe, and pyranometer to get the weather variables that we needed. We also set up a portable weather station closer to our lysimeters but over a surface that wasn't as nice as our field site for our LAIS station, just to supplement and verify, make sure the data was good. And here's a picture of our LAIS station. And again, to the crop coefficients, what we have here is broken down into the north lysimeter and the south lysimeter. And following the growth stages, you see it increases through the development period through pinhead square, match head square. Then values begin to maximize, level out about first flower. And depending on whether it's the north or south lysimeter, they increase or maintain about the same through peak bloom and node above white flower at 5. The spike that occurs before node above white flower there, I'm thinking is due, we had a 5-day period of 100 plus temperatures, really hot working in the field, so I'm thinking that that might be responsible for that right there. And so now plotted against plant height, you can see that the crop coefficients start to maximize before our plant height does, and then we had a little bit of a problem with the clothesline effect, especially on the north lysimeter, where we had taller plants, especially later in the season. And then looking at main stem nodes also corresponds with the plant heights, as the north lysimeter we had higher node counts, and also the crop coefficients maximized before these. And we had just a basic soil surface wetness rating by just looking at the surface, but it didn't end up corresponding too well with what we had, but we just wanted to see if maybe it would. And then moving on to what seemed to be the best indicator of crop coefficients was canopy closure. So we began, we had 25% on the 14th of June, 50% on the 29th, and then by July 20th, we had 80%. And it might be a little hard to see, but the blue dots in there seem to fit nicely to our crop coefficient data, especially when they begin to level off. So the 80% is around where the first flower was, which would also be the crop canopy closure would be easily measured for farmers rather than having to plant, you know, heights or nodes. And then we wanted to see, since we have rice fields that are north that may produce some more humid conditions, if there would be any modifying effects on different wind directions. But we didn't appear to see any changes to our coefficients that were dependent upon a certain direction. But we do see that there is a predominant south wind, which we expect in our area. Okay. And then we took measurements for 8 rows around the lysimeters at 2-foot intervals, and to get kind of a profile of our canopy to see, you know, how even it was. And the lysimeter area is marked here in red. You can see again that there are slightly taller plants on the north lysimeter. We're thinking that account for the increase in crop coefficients there. And here fits some basic trend lines. We're going to look more about the best way to analyze this data. But initially, the small amount of data we have for the initial stage, we kind of have a horizontal and also a steeper trend from the north and south lysimeters. Through the development stage, the next one there, we see that we have the steepest increase in crop coefficients. And then for our north lysimeter, which has the taller plants, we actually saw an increase in crop coefficients through the mid and late season, and for the south we had pretty much a horizontal line. We're also thinking since we didn't have a decrease in crop coefficients for the late season, this is probably due to our variety being very vigorous during the late stages. And again, some simple averages for the different periods here for the north and south lysimeter. They're pretty close at first through development. They start to become a little further apart at 0.7 and 0.66. And then mid to late season, we see the greatest differences, 1.56 and 1.37. These values are a little higher than we'd expect to see, we'd like to see. So we are trying to figure out reasons why this might be, but the top of our list we're thinking is to try and get the canopy next season to be more consistent. And so to go over the main points, our canopy closure seemed to be a good indicator of the crop coefficient values. During the earlier season, the crop coefficients maximized earlier than the plant heights and nodes, because we're thinking that it's just better correlated to the crop canopy, which is closer to leaf area. And then late season, we saw higher values for the crop coefficients than we expected, probably due to the close-on effect. And then also that wind direction for our area did not appear to have any bad effects on our data. And so things that we would like to work on next time is to avoid close-on effect. We're going to do a deep tillage of the subsoil, try to undo compaction from all the walking and also from vehicle traffic when the lysimeters were installed. Also earlier application of Pentia. And we also had, we're not sure if it may be a problem or not, but a slight mineral staining on the cotton plants due to our overhead irrigation. And we were thinking it could have a possibility of changing the solar radiation absorption of the plants, so we might plan on doing a furrow irrigation instead. And then we would also like to improve maintenance on and increase the area of the reference grass surface for our LAIS station. And I'd like to thank Cotton Incorporated, and that's all.
I missed some details on the lysimeter itself. How deep is it?
It's a meter and a half deep.
Meter and a half deep. And what kind of drainage system do you have there?
We have a perforated PVC pipe covered in, I believe, 6 inches of sand. And we pump that whenever we see. We have soil moisture indicators. We make sure that the lysimeters aren't more moist than the surrounding field. And so we keep those pumped on a regular basis.
Have you considered the possibility that you might have luxury consumption, the cotton rooting down to the deeper part of that?
That's, I guess, why we're trying to keep it the same as the outside field.
Yes, sir.
How was your reference EP calculated, you can say?
Oh, by the standardized reference EP.
What is standardized reference?
It was the ASCE, Penman Monti.
Penman